Hope you don't need that. There goes your music. Thanks, Marcella and worship team. That was amazing. As you know, we're doing this imagination theme. And so I told you before, I'll tell you again, I fit well there. I like using my imagination to a fault, of course, because I flip into another world. But as you're singing the song, I couldn't actually sing the last, I finished the last line, but I couldn't sing it because I was just thinking of, wow, all my life you've been so faithful. You know, sometimes we can relate it maybe to a person that kind of has been with us, but people, like we fall down, right? We fail. We're not always there for our friends. But God sure is. And I was just, he just showed me, just gave me pictures as I was singing it of, remember that? Yeah. And I remember how much I slipped, how many times I've slipped away from God, and yet he's just been so faithful. Wow. Unbelievable. I didn't mean to say that this morning, but now I lost my time. See, I'm losing time, Marcello. this coming weekend, we're going to have David Hearn with us, our president of the Christian Missionary Alliance in Canada, and that's awesome. But you know what? He's not a guy about prestige. And yeah, we'll give his title and everything, and we'll talk about him and all the things he's done, the way he's been involved in our district and our denomination as far as a nation. And it is quite striking and amazing how God has worked through him. But really, he's a humble man. And I think all he really wants to be known as a guy who loves Jesus and wants to share, make Jesus known to others. And so as he comes, we told you, and maybe you're afraid of this now, but we told you he hugs a lot, has lots of energy. So don't be afraid of that, though, because I read his last momentum, and here's how it goes. He talks about his hugging. I thought that was perfect as we're coming into this weekend. He talks about his hugging, how he was at a service, and at the end of the service, people were coming up to be prayed for, and he was praying for them, and of course, he's giving them a hug. And that's what he does. It's just his style. And I noticed in this momentum, he actually said, but I am sensitive to the fact that not everybody can handle a hug, right? And that's true of some people. It's just too much for them. But as he was sharing that, he was talking about an incident, and I'll just, maybe you can read it yourself sometime, just go grab it from, if you go to the Christian Mission Alliance website, you can find these momentums, and it's kind of fun to read them. But he was talking about people coming forward, and he was praying for somebody, and they walked away. And then someone came up who was looking maybe, you know, not quite a typical person that would be in the congregation. Maybe dressed a little disheveled and not fitting in, possibly someone from off the street. And as he came up to the front, he was a little unsure of himself, but he wanted to be prayed for, and David prayed for him. And when they finished, he saw what was happening earlier, right? He saw these people being hugged, and then he thought, oh, well, I'm not sure I'll get a hug. I'm sure in his mind is what he was thinking. And as he finished praying, he kind of moved away from David. But then David moved towards him and gave him a hug. And then as he was going out, he was feeling, of course, good about himself. And I guess he told another buddy. And this other guy came up and said, my friend told me, you're praying for people. Could you pray for me too? And then he gave him a hug too. And he talked about the beauty of the hug. Not that we all can receive a hug, but the beauty of touch. And how we need some sort of embrace. And these men did not have that embrace. They missed that, and they needed that. And it reminds us of, even as Katie was doing that walkthrough, that personal touch, where the hug can be a prayer, the hug can be physical, the hug can be done in so many different ways where people can receive it. And I love what Pastor Kyla said, what are we doing in our street, right? When you take your dog for a walk, or when you just go for a walk, or when you're riding your bike, can we be like that too? Can we share a hug to our community as we go around in whatever way we can? And sometimes it's going to be physical for some of us. We need to just literally give them a hug in a world that sometimes is not so friendly towards that, but desperately, desperately needs it. All right. So I got to jump into my message here because I'm going to run out of time, but I wanted to just continue to get us familiar with David as he's going to be coming in to spend some time with us. I think it'll help you as he comes in. So we're talking about thanks for reading, Mark, again. And it's great. It's awesome. And yeah, again and again and again, some of you have heard this story so many times, but it's a precious, awesome story. And let's set it up a little bit because it does have a context. And the context is interesting. It's very similar to a lot of the things Jesus said in the Gospels. It helps and deals with the scribes and the Pharisees, guys who were there to set up the law. And so he's trying to help them. If you read in Matthew 5, it talks about the law, and it says that Jesus said to the, when the scribes and Pharisees were there and the people were there, he said, I have not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill the law. The law gives great principles to us so that our life can be filled, made complete. We can live pure and holy like he did because of the work he's done for us. I've come to fulfill it. And they didn't fully understand that. As a matter of fact, they're probably curious about that. How could you even say that? You don't understand the extent of the law, do you, Jesus? And by the way, what's wrong with the law? What are you fulfilling? What are you doing? You know, this is what we've fixed this all up, because the scribes, they would take the Ten Commandments and they would take like take a day off, take a holy day and rest. And they would say, okay, that's good, that principle. But then they take that principle and they make it into a law. And they say, well, okay, so what does that law look like? What does that principle really mean? Well, that means you can't work. So what does it mean not to work? Well, probably it means you're maybe going to break a sweat. So what does it mean to break a sweat? Well, I don't know. It depends how big you are or how in shape you are. So let's figure out what that is like. How many steps can you take? I don't know. So they're figuring out all these things. Or can you even write something? I don't know. Maybe not. Well, how much? What is too much? Maybe two letters. Oh, that's incredible. So you can only write two letters. And if you do it with a certain type of ink, that's not good. You have to do it with this type. Or what if somebody's sick? We can't heal somebody on the Sabbath. We have to take a rest. So, oh, but maybe we can put a bandage on it because we don't want them to die. So put a bandaid on it so that later when the Sabbath is over, then we can heal them. It became ridiculous. So this is the setting. We're coming into this setting. Wow, it's complex. And with the prodigal son, we have two guys there, and we had two choices that were made. They both lived under their father, and their father was in charge of the household. They could decide to live in the house or out of the house. Let's think about that. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for a song that reminds us of you running after us, whether we're in the house or out of the house. And this morning I pray that you would speak to us through this passage, maybe in a way that you haven't before, and remind us of your love and the warmth of it and how we can walk into it. And so we just commit ourselves to you, Lord. It is our desire to be like you, like Christ. It's our desire to have your mind, to be filled and empowered by your Holy Spirit, to glorify you by making you known among us, around us, and beyond us. And I trust that as we look at this passage, you will show us yourself, because we need you. We need to see that. We need that mission coming towards us. So I pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen. So these guys had a choice to stay in the house or out of the house, and we know what happened. One chose to stay in the house, the older brother, and the younger brother chose to step out of the house. Interesting choice, and both had its consequences, and one maybe seemed greater than the other, and yet turned out that both struggled a little bit with their decisions, one staying in and one staying out. You know, the two stories just prior to this give sort of reflect what happens in this story. We have the parable of the lost sheep. Remember that parable? Where there were 100 sheep, and 99 of them were with the shepherd, but one went away. So he chose to go out of the house. And Jesus left the 99. Because there's a song that goes, Reckless Love. It's kind of, we look at it as almost reckless. He just left the 99. Well, he didn't really. But that was the idea of the parable. He literally said that. I left the 99 and I went to get the one. So this sheep went out of the house, but he brought him back in. The next parable is a lost coin. They lost the coin, like the keys. And they're searching and searching. By the way, if you were like me, you picked up your keys and put them somewhere so that the kids wouldn't find them. I cannot lose my keys, so I hid them from them. Anyhow, the lost coin. They're searching and searching and searching, and they finally find the coin. The coin was in the house still, but it was lost. Get it? It was in the house, but it was lost. How many of us are in the house, but we're lost? And so here, it just sets up this next parable where we have the two guys. And this one son decides to take off. And we know what the results are. He basically says to his father, listen to it in a different way. He says to his father, to you, I want to see you as no longer a part of my life, as dead, as if you do not exist, because I want to do what I want to do. So give me my inheritance, so now I can go out of the house and do whatever I want. And why does he do that? Because he can't fulfill the law. I can't live in this house. I've understood, and I see, I finally come to the conclusion, I cannot do it. And so he didn't turn to his father for help. He actually turned to his father to get out. I'm doing it on my own. I'm going to do it my own way. And a lot of us have done that. I can't do it, so I'm going to make my own decisions. As a matter of fact, I'm going to make up my own rules. I'm going to decide what's right and wrong. I'm going to do what I want, and God will be okay with it because he's a gracious God, or I don't even care because I don't want to be under his rule, so I'm leaving him. And so we get out. And that's what this young guy was saying. I'm out of here. It's as if you will have no influence on me anymore because I can't live under this reign anymore. I need to be free. He literally wanted to leave as if his dad was dead. And so the amazing thing is, just like God, he gives us this free will and he says, yeah, here you go. It's all yours. Go. And he went. And we know how the story goes. He lost everything. There was a famine in the land. He got desperate. And the way I see it is that, you know how the story goes, and if you don't remember the story, Jesus comes, or the father comes running out to see his son. When he saw him from a long distance, he saw him from a distance so far away. Well, I like to think that not only did he see him from that distance, but he saw her from the distance like I know he did when he was with the pigs and feeding the pigs and longing to eat the pigs' food because he had nothing. He saw him there. As a matter of fact, he was working on his life right there. And he was helping him to see that he needed something else. He was very patient with him, letting this son choose what he wanted, but he was there with him, watching him go through that and drawing him back to the father, drawing him back. And finally, the son got desperate enough, like we do sometimes, and we realized, I just need the father. I need to go back. And so he devised a plan, like we do. I mean, I've told you about my plans before. When I go back to the Father, and in this case, God, when I go back to God, I really need to be sure that everything's right already. I don't know if you like me. I'm so proud, and I don't want to get caught with my hands in the cookie jar ever. I'll lie to protect and to hide it. I'll do whatever I can. This is me. This is my side that is diabolical, really. And so I'll do that. And so this guy kind of had a plan too. He's figuring out a plan. Oh, my father, now I realize that it was okay. You know, actually living in that kingdom wasn't so bad. Even his servants, even the people that served him received so much. So what if I go back and I just decide to be a servant? I'll just go to my father who loves me so much. He gave me everything. He just let me go as if I just wrote him off, but he let me go. But I can remember how gracious he was, how much he loved me. Yeah, it was hard. I had to work in the field. I had things I had to do. I had to keep rules and regulations, but it was good. I can see that now. It helped me grow. And so back he goes with a plan. And here we have the son who chose to stay outside the house, now realizing that he needs to be back in the house. Some of us are there. Some of us are there right now. We're living outside the house. And you may say, well, no, I'm not. Like, I love God. I'm here at church. I'm here to worship God. And by the way, so glad you guys are here. It is awesome to have you guys here this morning. I always am kind of amazed that you come to church. Like, really, wow, we're so privileged to have you come and be involved in a group like all of us, right? But it is so awesome that you do. And so this, as the son was coming back through this plan, he had it all figured out, but he needed a way to make it work. And the father was just willing to love him, just willing to take him in. Just wanted to be with him. So from a distance, he saw him coming. I have a friend who is a Jewish friend, and when I moved here 26 years ago, I guess it is now, he told me something about this story that stuck with me. And maybe you guys already know it, but in Jewish culture, there was this interesting thing. When a son sort of turned against his family, he basically also turned against the community. So when the son did that, he couldn't just come back. When he came back, there needed to be some form of discipline. Something had to happen. So as he's coming back, when the father sees him from a long way off, that's significant. Because he has to see him from a long way up. And obviously he was looking for him too, right? I love that about God. He's always looking for us. No matter where you are, he's looking out for us. He's reaching out for us. He saw him from a long way up because if he didn't, the rest of the community is going to intercept him on the way in. And they're going to start the plan right there. Because, oh, here he is. Now we got to take care of this problem. So the community comes together. But he ran out. And the picture is, of course, that as he ran out, they wear their robes and they're respected, these elders, these fathers. But he pulls up his robe, which is very disrespectful. But not only that, he pulled up his robe, of course, because so he could run. And so here he's running. You don't run. The elders do not run. They sit like sages waiting for people to come to them. He's running. This is God the Father coming from up in heaven on his throne, running out to us so that he can protect us from what's going to happen to us, the discipline that's come our way. Not only is the Father protecting this son from the discipline that's coming towards him, but he's in fact taking it upon himself. Because as he does it, the rest of the community is confused. They're saying, how can you do this? You can't do this. And now it's all deflected to the Father. We must do this. And he's receiving the discipline that the Son should have received. He does it on his behalf, just like Jesus does for us. The Son wanted to be outside of the house, realized he needed to be back in. Sometimes we decide to stay outside of the house in decisions we make. And it may not be, as I said, was getting into earlier and didn't finish. It may not be like we just feel like we're fully pulling away from him. Maybe we just made some small decisions. We see them as small. And they're deviations away from what God would have us to be. And you're saying, well, those are just principles. I say, yeah, they are just principles. They're life-giving principles. We need to live them out. Not in our power, but in God's power. So let's go back to Jesus. Let's go back in the house. It's really the best place for us in the kingdom of God. Let's discover the life that he wants us to have. But then we have the other son. Really interesting, the other son. And we didn't read past 24, but let's read a little bit more. In verse 25, it says, meanwhile, there was an older son, and he was in the field. And when he came near the house, he heard music and dancing, because they decided to have a party, right? This is a party. This reckless love ran out after this son. And not only that, but he brought everybody else in to do this party. We don't do that very well, but we need to do that more. He had a party. And when he came near the house, he heard that music. So he called one of the servants and asked him, what's going on? I'm in the house. I'm working for my father. I didn't even know about this party. What's going on? So your brother has come home, he replied, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. And the older brother became very angry. He's in the house. We are in the house. The older brother became very angry. And he refused to go in. I'm in the house, but I'm not going to that party. No way. This is not right. This is wrong. How could this possibly happen? He refused to go in. So the father went out to him. Get it? He just keeps going out to us. We're so stubborn. We got our own ways. It can't be done that way in the church. So I'm not part of this party anymore. I'm not going to deal with it anymore. I do it. I don't know if you do. I do it. But God comes to us anyhow, in the house. We're like the coin that's hidden in the house. Jesus wants to find it and bring it back and party with us too. Seriously. It's an awesome story. And so, anyhow, so the father went out and he pleaded with him. Can you imagine this? Again, he takes the lowest position and just pleads for us to come back into relationship with him and with his people. That he's embracing. Can you embrace them with me? But he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. And what, it doesn't say this in the passage, but imagine the father looking at him saying, what? Are you serious? You're a slave? I thought you did this because you love me. Do you ever feel like that with God? God, I've done so much for you. I've been so obedient. I've followed all the rules and regulations and the laws, and you've done nothing for me. You're not healing my sister. You're not taking care of this relationship. My marriage is falling apart. My kids are all over the map. Where are you? And so we're doing this thing where we're living by the law. We're fulfilling all the things that we think are right, and we're actually substituting. How did I say it here? We're finding ourselves regulated by rules when we really should have a relationship that's fueled by love. We're regulating our lives by rules, and we're performing rather than enjoying God's presence. Interesting thought, right? We're doing all these things that we're performing. We're doing the right things. We're in the committee. We're in that committee, and I'm leading worship, and I'm teaching. I'm doing all these things, so I'm performing well. Isn't that good enough? No, it's not. What you really need is God's presence. You need His love. You need to be fueled by His love, not stuck and trying to regulate your life and find life through the law. And so He comes out to the son who's sitting there in the field moping and upset and whining, and He tries to draw him back in. But when his sons, and He said in verse 30, but when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him. And I know it's easy for us to say, that's ridiculous. How could he be like that? He should have been more understanding. He should have been excited too. But let the Holy Spirit now speak to you where we do the same thing in other areas. Where we get frustrated with why other people are blessed or why they're being taken care of by God. And whether you think about it through healing or financial things or relationships or a great family, they get all that. Where is God in my life? Stop it. He's actually right there. And He's running out to you. He's actually going out to you, and He's pleading with you to come into relationship with Him and to enjoy His presence again. My son, the father said, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. We forgot that. We don't understand it. We don't know how it works, and we thought we knew, but we were wrong. All I have is yours. And then he said, but we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he is found. And I believe within that sentence, he's saying to this older son who's in the house, you're lost. You are dead. Come on. Come back in. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word to us. It's so clear. And I ask that you would continue to seek us, continue to find us. Imagine a God that is pleased and longing and aggressive to save us. Wow, that blows my mind. Thank you for your faithfulness and your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen.